And so the question I want to ask you to start off with is, in your own mind, what does a generous spirit consist of? In your own life, what does a generous spirit consist of? And when you think of the word generous, I think most of the time we think of giving. We think of ways that we can give. And a lot of times when we think of giving, we think from a financial standpoint. And as we're going to study today, it's not all about finances. It's about being able to give to the Lord what He has already blessed you with through talents and through the ways that you can communicate with others and through the ways that you can assist others in many different areas of your own life. And it's not just through financial means of generosity that we can bless someone. For Jesus Christ Himself did not bless us with His finances. Jesus Christ blessed us with the giving of His own life so that we could have life everlasting. And so that is what Jesus wants you and I to do, to be so very generous with our own lives that we are willing to give of our own selves to others because of what lives within us, because of who lives within us. So out of reverence for God's holy and infallible word, if you would stand as we read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty might become rich. And in this I give advice, it is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. You may be seated, and may God add a blessing to the remainder of this service. Generosity is equal to thanksgiving. Think about some moments in your life that you have been very generous and you have given your times and your talents, and maybe through finances. And you think about how wonderful it feels to be able to give. And that is a reason for thanksgiving, to give thanks to God that He has blessed you with this opportunity to be able to be so generous. And we know that Jesus Christ, in the life that He lived, He gives us ample examples of what generosity truly means, of what a generous spirit is all about. First of all, we know that Jesus was so very generous that he was willing to leave his throne on high to come here on this earth. And so he was generous in giving up himself, and he was also showing his obedience to his heavenly Father, which are the very same things that God wants you and I to do, is to show our generosity and to show our obedience by giving of ourselves. And so today we're going to discuss four different ways or different characteristics of what it means to be generous. First of all, Jesus, through his generosity, through his generous spirit, he shows us or gives us his word to guide us. He gives us his spirit to empower and to transform us into his image. And he also gives us his church to encourage and to support. I think that it's very important that we understand and we are able to see that we are to be here to encourage one another. We are to be here to support one another. Of course, it is very encouraging to me when I see more and more people sitting in the pews, more and more people willing to come and serve. And with that being said, you know that our nominating committee has been going out the last couple of weeks and have been asking many people to take part in being a servant for this church. And many of you have said yes. And of course, some of you have possibly said no. But we've got to understand and know that this is a very important time in the church year. There are approximately 49 different positions that can be held here at this church. That's counting some of the paid positions. And next week I'm going to give you the exact percentage, but of the 49 positions that can be filled here, I will say that there are several names, if not multiple names, that are serving in 6 to 7 other different capacities. And I really don't think that should be the case. There is enough work for this church to do that all of us can take a major role in serving this church. But not serving Sand Hill, but serving God. That's what it's about. It's not about serving Sand Hill. It's about serving God and doing what He has asked you to do and has commanded you to do and He can equip you to do. Sure, you may be nervous and thinking that you could never teach a Sunday school class or you could never lead a group of children or RAs or GAs or whatever the case may be. You can't do it on your own. I don't stand up here on my own Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesdays. I've tried to stand up on my own before and I have fallen on my face. You can only do this by being equipped through the guiding and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so today we want to focus on what it truly means to be or to have or to demonstrate a generous spirit. Remember that Jesus has given His word to guide us. Jesus' Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will empower you so that you can do any task that He has laid out in front of you. And then once again, remember He has given us the church to encourage and to support one another. These characteristics of a generous spirit are very important. And I imagine there are many, many more that we could list. But today we're just going to talk of 4. And you may be able to come up with your own list of characteristics of what it takes to have a generous spirit. But I'm only going to give you 4 today. And so we're going to focus through the verses of 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 15. We're not going to go through every verse. But if you get a chance sometime today when you leave from here or sometime through the course of this week, go back and read these verses of 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 15. As I've already alluded to, when we do hear of the word being generous, we often do think of the means to give financially. And your initial desire may be to give financially, but then unfortunately sometimes we know that our bank account may not allow us to do so. And so that's why I want to stress to you today that it's not always about finances. It is about what God can equip you to do for Him. And He can equip you to do everything. If you solely trust Him. And that's what He wants you to do. He wants you to place your faith and trust in Him. He wants to build your faith more and more, allowing you to step out just a little bit further. You remember about 6 or 7 months ago, I talked about that comfort zone. And that's what He wants you to do. He wants you to step out of that comfort zone. He wants you to wade out into the water a little bit deeper. So the deeper you get, you realize just how much more you need Him. And He's always there through His generosity, through the leading of the Holy Spirit. And as we've read through these verses this morning, that the church, or the Christians, the early Christians in Macedonia proved that it's not the case that you have to be or you must be wealthy to have a generous spirit. Using them as a model of generosity, Paul, he was trying here to motivate the Corinthians to follow through with their original commitment to support. And that's something very important as well. Support. Oh, how we need support. We don't need to be encouraged and we don't need to be told how well we're doing or that we're constantly being patted on the back and saying, you're doing an awesome job. That's not what we need it for. We just need that support to see that people are buying in to what you're doing and they're buying in to what you're trying to reach them with the message of who Jesus Christ is within your heart and how He can use you in mighty and powerful ways to be a leader at home, a leader at church, a leader in your community, or a leader at your place of work. The word generous, as defined by Merriam-Webster, is saying that means freely giving or sharing money. But then it goes on to say, and other valuable things. Now, when we think of valuable, we most of the time do think of earthly treasures that we can hold on to when we think of things that are of great value. But for me and for you, I hope that we should know that the valuable things that we have are the wonderful talents that God has blessed us with. And I imagine many of you sit here today who have wonderful talents that you have not even began to use because you're not willing to submit. And what a blessing you're missing out on when you do not submit to God and allow Him to use you. Are you going to be the perfect leader? Are you going to be the perfect generous spirit, the one who is always doing the right thing at the right time? No. That's okay. None of us are going to be perfect leaders. None of us are going to be perfect teachers. I am not a perfect preacher. I fail daily in many areas of my life. But we have to continue to press on, and we have to continue to seek God and allow Him to use us in any way possible to spread His glorious word. The second definition is providing more than the amount that is needed or normal, abundant or ample. And then showing kindness and concern for others. And that's a very generous spirit. Isn't it important that we are able to recognize the needs of others? And we're able to show them concern. We're able to show them compassion. And we do this because we are spirit-led. Now, sometimes people do these things with an ulterior motive, maybe trying to climb the ladder of success or maybe to receive those pats on the back. And unfortunately, they're doing it for the wrong reason. Now, that doesn't take away the fact that the individual can't be blessed, because we know that God can use any and everybody to get His will done. But sometimes we do things with the wrong mindset or spirit set or heart set. And so if we take that definition of what generous means and apply it to our lives, I think that we can do a better job of knowing what it means to just to be generous, just to give love freely, show compassion freely, to lend a helping hand freely. And then if you have the financial means, to give freely. To use what God has blessed you with to help others in need. If you would look back at verse 9 of this very same chapter and follow along as I read that once more. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich." Jesus Christ is a perfect, supreme example of generosity. He didn't withhold anything from us. Anything. He sacrificed it all. And you think about the day may come when you get to enter into heaven and you're sitting there, or you're standing there, you're worshiping God. And if you were given the opportunity to leave heaven to come back down to save someone, it'd be kind of hard to do. Jesus Christ came to save all, with no reluctancy, with no regard for His own life. That is a true generous spirit. And if we mold ourselves after the Son of God, He will incline to you, He will equip you with the ability to live as He lived, to walk as He walked, to talk as He talked. And unfortunately, many of us, as we're going to study in a moment, we do talk about what we want to do and how we want to be generous, but we don't walk the generosity out. We don't see the plan through. It sounds good, but we just don't get it going. We don't work the plan out. So we're going to study that towards the end of this message today on the call of action to serve and to be that generous spirit that God has called us all to be. So the first characteristic that we're going to look at today is a generous person is sensitive to the needs of others. Look at verse 2 of this chapter. It reads, "That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality." They were poor. They had nothing, but they were so very generous. They gave freely. They gave liberally without any regard to themselves. All they cared about was others. The Macedonian believers were suffering from great affliction. Their own troubles, though, did not prevent them from feeling compassion. A lot of times, you know, we can be moved with great compassion when we see an individual going through something that maybe you have similarly gone through. We can relate. Now, we can't really say, I know how you feel, because we do not know how one feels, no matter if the circumstances were very similar or not. No one can truly know how you feel. God knows how you feel. Jesus Christ knows how you feel. Jesus Christ is the only one that can truly relate to any trial, tribulation, or heartache in which you endure. The second characteristic is a generous spirit sees needs as opportunities. Now, how many times in your life have you seen a need and you knew you really probably needed to help with that situation? You knew the opportunity had presented itself, but you shied away from it. Maybe because you didn't know if you really could be of help or not, or maybe it was a financial situation that needed money and you felt that you really weren't able to give at that time. Whatever the case may be, many of us have shied away from. Now, I will say this, we have to use our common sense and we have to use the discernment of the Holy Spirit to give in certain situations like this. We know that people take advantage of these types of situations when they are in need. They may only be in need to scam you, to rob you. So we have to be conscientious of this, especially for you women. I highly encourage you always to seek God's discernment in opportunities that may be in front of you. Because we know that we live in a very evil world, and you want to be able to be generous. You want to be able to give freely as God has asked you to give and commanded you to give. But at the very same time, we have to be very conscientious of our surroundings, but always seeking God's will. And always speaking with God and having great communication, open communication with God, He will give you the wisdom and the discernment of when to respond and when to walk away. The verse 4 of this chapter reads, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And so when we see the opportunity, this is what we're to do. We are to do it with great urgency, but remembering to seek out the will of God and guiding you in what areas you should work for. Far from dreading needs, the Macedonians actually begged Paul to let them support the saints in Jerusalem. They wanted to help. Their own afflictions did not stop them because they truly found great joy in helping others. And I'm sure many of you have experienced those same joys of when you know you have helped a family. For example, we look at our Operation Christmas Child, the shoe boxes. We don't get to see the little faces that open up those boxes, but we know that we're helping many, and it should bring great joy to you if you contribute to that. Or if you partake of the angel tree, for example, or any other things that we do through the church, or things that you may do on your own that no one else knows about. It should bring you great joy to know that you're doing something that God has asked you to do. And it puts a huge smile on God's face, and also He will bless you. And I know that you don't do these things for earthly blessings. You do these things because it is showing a Christ-like love, because you truly understand what a generous spirit is all about. The third characteristic is that generosity flows from a life surrendered to God. Now that word is very important, surrendered. I think that many of us have an issue with surrender, no matter what the situation may be. I myself have issues sometimes with surrendering, and we may sing as a hymn of invitation sometimes. I surrender, what's the last part? All. And we're so reluctant to surrender all, and just as Jesus came to save all, we are to surrender all. That means everything that we have, we are to surrender it all to Jesus. All to Him I freely give. And we sing that song. And I hope that when you do sing it, it moves your heart. But we're singing it. It's talk. But are we walking it? And it's very difficult to do. But that's what Jesus Christ wants us to do. He wants us to surrender our all to Him so that we can then surrender our all to others, so that we can help those in need. Generosity flows from individuals who believe this way. Before offering their gifts, the Macedonians, as I speak of, these believers first gave themselves to the Lord. If you look at verse 5, this is what it says. It's point blank right here in verse 5. It says, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. So when we give ourselves to the Lord, surrender all, we give ourselves to the Lord, and we truly want to be used by Him, He will direct your path. He will give you everything that you need, every tool, everything that you can imagine to get the work of His will done. He tells us point blank here in the 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. But you've got to surrender all. You've got to give it to the Lord first. And then our fourth characteristic is generosity is not an emotion, but a decision. That's a very important thing to think about as well, is that we often sometimes maybe react on emotion. And it may not be Spirit-led, Holy Spirit-led. It may be just off of the emotion. And so we have to be very careful that when we are responding with a generous heart, that it's not just off of emotion, but that it's truly being directed by the Holy Spirit Himself. And another word I say, or another statement that is synonymous with generosity, is true love. Jesus Christ, we know, is love. He is true love. He is also true generosity. And so generosity is a wonderful example of true love. And true love is not an emotion. It's a decision. You have to choose. You've got to make the decision for whom you're going to love. Husband and wives who are here today, you had to make a decision each day when you wake up if you're going to love your wife, if you're going to love your husband. And some days we choose not to show much love, myself included. It's so very true. Just as you have to choose to be generous, it's not an emotion. Generosity, true love. Jesus is true love. And Jesus is true generosity. We can choose to love and we can choose to be generous. Or we can choose to hate and we can choose to be selfish. Many times in my own life, I know I can look back over the course of my marriage. And of course, Amanda's not here today to hear this, but you all let her know that I said this, that I am sometimes selfish. And I think about my own wants and desires, and I don't think about hers. And we have to be very careful with that. We need to be able to give with a generous heart. We have to choose to love. We've got to choose to be generous. And we have to do that. You've got to make that choice. Just like I can't choose for you to be saved, you have to make that choice. Jesus can't choose for you to be saved. You've got to make that choice. But He has already provided. Wonderful. And ample generosity. If you would turn to Proverbs 11. Look at verses 24 and 25 of Proverbs 11. These two verses give us an example, a really good example of the blessings of being generous. Proverbs 11. Verses 24 and 25 reads, there is one who scatters, yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. A generous spirit will always lead to an eternal perspective, an eternal point of view. If you have true generosity living within your heart, you have the Lord Jesus Christ living within your heart. And it will lead you to an eternal and prosperous life. And as I've already mentioned this morning, when we show true generosity, we're not worried about the earthly things, the earthly awards that we may receive. We focus on, we should be focusing on the eternal blessings that we receive. When we view our lives from an eternal perspective, it should show us, it should increase our desire to want to serve Jesus Christ more. Because when you begin to show your generosity and you begin to act as the Lord Jesus Christ has called you to act, and you continue to give as He has asked you to give, you're going to see lives changed. And He's going to bless you for this. It's just an added bonus of being a child of the one true King. Being saved in His sheltering arms is good enough, but He will continue to award you for being a faithful child, a faithful servant of His. We cannot hold loosely, or rather we should hold loosely hold loosely to earthly values. Hold loosely to those things that, once it's all said and done, does not matter. We need to hold tightly to eternal value, eternal glory. And we can do this by showing a generous spirit, by being obedient to the will of the Father. The Corinthian church was also very moved to contribute, as they had had that lesson or their example given to them through the Macedonian church. But as I've already said, they had a great desire, but they weren't quite able to complete it. They didn't follow through. Their eagerness was not there. The desire was there, but the eagerness to see the plan through was not there. It had not come to full fruition. And many times I think we feel that we're ready to do something. We're ready. The desire is there to be very generous. But at the same time, we don't complete it. We don't go through it. We don't see it through. And that's where we make the mistake. See it through. Not on your own. See it through by the leading of God. By the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you would, look at verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 8. Verse 11 says, "But now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have." Now I'm going to read that same verse to you from the Christian Standard Bible. And it says, "Now also finish the task, so that just as there was an eager desire, there may also be a completion according to what you have." See it through. You've got to have the desire, you've got to be eager about it, but you've got to see it through. You've got to complete the task. A generous spirit has nothing to do with how much money you have. Always remember that. You don't have to be rich financially to give. What's so very important in your walk with Christ? It's not how much you have, but how much of the Lord has of you. That's what's important. And if God's got all of you, then you can do great things. He can use you in wonderful and mighty ways. The lowliest of the low, He can use. Giving to the Lord's work must be voluntary. I want to say that again. Giving to the Lord, being used by God, home, here, work, community, must be voluntary. You must be compelled through the Spirit of the living God to be used. When we do this, when we give of ourselves voluntarily, it will bring on great blessings. If you would look at chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, verses 6 through 8, many times when this scripture is read, these particular verses are read, it's geared towards tithing and the importance of tithing. That's not all these verses are saying here. It just simply is speaking of the cheerful giver, the giving of oneself, the giving of one's talents, one's time. Verse 6 says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Those are some powerful words. It tells us that if you do what God asks you to do, His grace is going to continually be bestowed upon you, and He's going to continue to pour more and more blessings on you. Because you are being obedient, you're going to be rewarded for it. Now, wouldn't you say that that is a wonderful and loving and generous God? He's already given us His Son so that we could experience life eternal. But God tells us right here in these words the importance of a cheerful giver if we're willing to give ourselves to others, to be used by God. You will abound in His grace. Abound here on earth, but truly abound when we see our Jesus face to face. It's all about having a true and generous spirit. What Christ did for the Corinthians is the very same thing that He has done for you and He has done for me, that He has done for all people. And this should be reflected in our own lives. We should be willing to give all to Jesus and give all to those who are in need. For we will be blessed. 2 Corinthians 8:15 reads, "As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack." Very symbolic of the Old Testament. When they were told to collect the manna, they were told how much they could get. If they got more than what they were supposed to, what happened? It was bad. It rotted. And it smelled. There was nothing there. Greediness. There is nothing there. But for those who gathered little, had no lack. So just as this manna was provided at the very first Exodus, the provision at the second Exodus is Christ Jesus Himself being equally sufficient between Jew and Gentile so that each may be able to provide for the other. Isn't that important? And as we've been studying in Revelation, we're studying the 144,000 Jews who have been selected by God to go out and proclaim the truth of who Jesus Christ is. They're not going out to reach just Jews during the 7 years of tribulation. They're going out to reach the Jew and the Gentile. Exactly what we're just speaking of right here. They're being of a generous spirit. They're being called upon to lead God's word to those who have not heard it. Once again, another reason why I encourage you to come back on Sunday evening as we are studying through the book of Revelation. It's so very important to our lives. It's not about the apocalypse. It's very relevant to the lives in which we live today. If you would turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Within this few verses here, it gives us a call to action as to why we are to have and what we're to do with a generous spirit. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and 8. Another epistle by Paul, and Paul saying here, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you, and not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us." Think about that. Are you willing to give up your own life? And I don't mean in a physical state of death. But are you willing to give up your energy, your time for others? This is what was taking place here in this epistle. That they had fallen in love with those who they were serving. And they were so very willing to make ample sacrifice so that they could see the importance of believing in the one true King. So they could see the importance of grasping the idea of having a generous spirit. God expects His people to be generous. Have you ever thought about that? He expects you to be generous. He expects me to be generous. He doesn't want me to hold back. He doesn't want you to hold back. He wants to use you. He wants to use you and bless you. Rely on God, that He can give you that generous spirit. It's a work in progress. Whether you're a newfound Christian or maybe you've been a Christian for many, many years, these are things that we have to revisit. We have to see and seek God's direction to give us this generous spirit. Philippians 2:3 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself." And then James 4:17 says, "To withhold from others who are in need of help is a sin." And what that means is, in any area of your life where you see an individual needs help, or you see a church who needs help, if you withhold your generosity to your family, to your church, it is a sin. All to Jesus I freely give. You've got to be able to surrender all to the Lord so that He can use you, so that He can truly bestow upon you a generous spirit. Proving that we understand what it means to have a generous spirit, or doing what it takes to have a generous spirit, we must simply remember the significance of the four characteristics that we have gone over today. And I want to read them to you once more in case you want to write them down. Number one, a generous person is sensitive to others. Number two, a generous person sees needs as an opportunity. And number three, generosity flows from a life surrendered to God. And then number four, generosity is not an emotion. It is a decision. I feel that when we fully surrender ourselves to God, we will see changes immediately. And if that's an area within your life that you know you need to work on, pray to God to open your eyes and to open your heart so that He can direct you in the path that He needs you to go, so you can use that generous spirit that He has bestowed upon you. And with that being said, I want to leave this with you this morning. And I know we have some who are still out on vacation, but we must communicate one with another. We are still in need of people who are willing to serve on Sunday evenings with our C3. That stands for Connecting Children with Christ. We need some leaders. We have children who are wanting to be here on Sunday night, but we don't have anyone who can fill that role right now but one. And we need some people to step up. Because if we're not teaching our children as we're to teach our children here on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and when we gather on Wednesdays, who's teaching them? The world. Do we want them to be led by Spirit-filled individuals? Holy Spirit-filled individuals? Or do we want them led by evil-spirited individuals of this world? So I ask you to pray. It may be one of you sitting here today, but I ask that you pray that we will be able to keep this class going on Sunday nights. It's very important. That way, if the children are here, I pray that the parents will be here and that we're worshiping as a family. Because that's what God intended. And so I ask you to pray for that specifically. Maybe you sitting here this morning may step up and fill that role. But God has great things in store for His people. But we can't be used if we're not willing. He cannot use you if you don't surrender all. And I encourage you to surrender all. Give Him your everything. Yes, we think our time is important. And it is. But no greater thing than you can do with your time than to serve God. Serve the one who created you. Serve the one who makes life possible. Serve the one who has blessed you beyond all measure. Have a generous spirit. And the only way to obtain that generous spirit is to give your heart, your soul, your everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, and I thank you for all that you do in our lives each and every day. And Father, I do pray that we all will develop a more generous spirit each and every day, God. Father, as we see the needs around us, Lord, may you direct our paths and give us the wisdom to discern what we should do to help, God, in any facet of life, God. May we strive daily to serve others, God, and to just help others in need. God, may we have the mindset of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came here to serve and not to be served. The greatest king of all kings, but came to this earth to serve God, to show us the importance of serving. And so, Father, I pray that the generous spirit that your Son bestowed upon the earth, may it be infused within our hearts today. And God, may we serve you with gladness, and not serve you begrudgingly, Father, but to serve you with a smile on our face and an even bigger smile on our hearts, Father. God, I thank you for all that you do, Lord. I thank you for hearing this prayer. And God, I know that you will answer this prayer in accordance to your holy and precious will. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.